Thank you, Dave. You don't know how fortunate you are today because if you look in your bulletin, I was supposed to do the special music and you wouldn't have liked it. So I do want to wish all the fathers happy Father's Day, and I thank all of you for being here today. And I am not Pastor Mike Harris either. Bulletin got a little messed up, and that's okay. We can live with that. My name's Jimmy Branton, and I'm one of the deacons here at the church. I'm also one of the Bible study teachers, and I fill in for him sometime. So once again, I thank you for being here today. I was telling my wife the other day, this sermon seems like it's going to be really short, so don't clap yet. Some of the times I sit down and prepare for a sermon, and I look over it and I got to start cutting things, because it'll be 2 hours long, easy. And this one was really, really short compared to what I normally do. And I was laughing, and Dennis doesn't know this, but this week when I was thinking about it and praying about it, I used to be in the military. I was in the Marine Corps for 4 years. And Dennis said this in class this morning, so I was laughing. There was one of our sayings in the military was KISS, keep it simple, stupid. And that's what I kept feeling as I was preparing this sermon today. Keep it simple, stupid. Because sometimes I want to over look at things, and my mother-in-law's back there shaking her head, yeah. I want to just keep going on and on about it. And this one, I've got a few points I want to hit, and I'm really, really more interested in us soaking it in and applying it than trying to throw a bunch of things at you this morning. And that's really how I felt as I prepared for this sermon, that I just needed to get a few simple points to you and me. I don't know if some of you guys haven't heard me preach before. I'm usually just preaching to myself. So if you get something out of it, good. But I'm usually talking to myself when I preach because I've got plenty of things I need to fix in my own life. So let's go ahead and pray real quick. God, I thank you for allowing us to come together in your name this morning. And I ask that you just be with us this morning as we look at your word. And I ask that this morning you infill me with the Holy Spirit and let me only speak your words. Let me not speak what I think, what I want, but let me speak what you want, what you think, what your word says. And I ask that we be receptive to your word this morning, that we use it to grow closer to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We had revival not too long ago, and I was thinking about some things about it, and some of you guys don't know me. I used to be a police officer. I was for 13 years, and I might not catch what you say right now, but for some reason, I'll look at it for 2 weeks, and eventually I'll go, my wife was saying this to me 2 weeks ago, and I think this is what she was talking about, and I'll start digging deeper into it. So after revival, I had some questions for myself and thought deeper into things, and I want to talk about that today. And some of you might say, we've had enough revival sermons. No, we haven't, So I'm going to talk about that this morning. So the first thing I'm going to start with are some definitions from Webster's Dictionary. Revival, return or recall to activity from a state of languor as the revival of spirits. So I was like, well, what does languor mean? It's a lack of spirit or interest, listlessness or stagnation. So we want to return from that state of stagnation. Also, another definition, renewed and more active attention to religion, an awakening of men to their spiritual concerns. And as I look at our nation around us, I think we really need to have an awakening of spiritual concerns. We're concerned about the economy, we're concerned about jobs, we're concerned about our families, and those are all well and good. Those are things that are concerning to us. But you know what? I can't fix any of that. And I don't think you guys can fix the economy. I don't think you guys can fix the joblessness rate. I don't think you guys can fix some of the problems that we're having in families today. But I know that God can. Too often, I don't know if you're like me, too often I want to take things into my own hands. As a teenager, pretty much my brothers and I were the only ones at home. My parents both worked all the time, it seemed. So I don't hardly remember seeing them too much as a teenager. We took care of ourselves. When I was 17, I joined the Marine Corps. Marine Corps teaches you, be ready to take the next person's job. Be ready to take the next person's job. You need to be able to function independently if you have to. Then I was a police officer for 13 years. I would come in your house and take care of whatever problem was there. I was in charge. If I wasn't in charge, I would get hurt. So for all my life, it seems I've been pounded into me, you're in charge, Jimmy. When I know, based on God's teachings, that should be the furthest thing from what's in my mind. God needs to be in charge. So we need to have this spiritual awakening. We want to see the economy fixed, or we want to be happy in the economy. We want to see the jobless rates fixed. We want to see family problems fixed. We need to have a spiritual awakening. And that's what revival is about. But as I looked at revival in the aftermath, I felt we didn't have that. And we can be just me. Maybe all you guys did great, and I'm the only one that missed it. Okay? So maybe I'm just preaching to myself during this part. But I didn't feel that we had a spiritual awakening. You know, I've been places where there are spiritual awakenings, and it looks different than what I see. It feels different than what I feel. The people act differently than I'm acting. So it's very, very important that we look at that. I'm going to give a little bit of a revival testimony that I had. I was saved when I was 8 years old. I don't remember the date and time. I remember I was sitting on the back row, and I remember the pastor was talking only to me, and I remember God calling me, and I remember coming forward and accepting him. I remember that very vividly. But as a teenager and as I got into high school, I started hanging around with the wrong people, started drinking a lot, started being pretty bad, then joined the Marine Corps. And I don't know how the Marine Corps is today, but in 1983, I didn't know anybody that was a Christian in the Marine Corps. If they were, they were undercover like I was. Everybody was drinking and fighting, and you name it. If it was bad, that's what we were doing. So I kind of brought that out of the Marine Corps and brought it back to Louisiana with me when I got out in 1987. And I had brought Renee back from California with me. And after we had been in Louisiana for a little while, she said, hey, we need to get in church. We've got a daughter, and, you know, we need to be in church. I was like, okay, that makes sense. I used to go to this church over here, Kingsville Baptist Church. Let's just go there. I'm sure they'll let us come. But I didn't have a spiritual revival yet. I went because my wife wanted to go. I knew it was the right thing to do, but I was just doing it. So went to church for a few years. On the weekend, I was still getting drunk. And nobody at church knew it except for the church couple that would get drunk with me. But I was just playing church at that point. And God was convicting me. I knew he was convicting me. He was telling me, Jimmy, you're saying you're a Christian, but you're not living the Christian lifestyle. You need to come back. I want you back. I want that fellowship back. I want to have a relationship with you. And I can't do it right now because of the sin that you have that's separating us. So I was like, eh, I'm going to keep doing my thing. I'll go play church on Sunday, and I'll do my thing the rest of the week. Well, God kept on convicting me, kept telling me, come on, Jimmy, come back. And I kept ignoring him. Well, I was a police officer then, and I was working in narcotics. I was actually undercover. And one morning, Sunday morning, getting ready to go play church, and the captain calls me up, and he says, hey, John and Brad have this guy out at one of the police substations. There's a bunch of marijuana plants. I want you to go out there and make sure they handle the investigation properly. I was like, okay, I'll go out there. So we went out there, and I'm not going to go into all the details of how the kid got arrested, but he had taken the uniform guys out into the woods and shown them where these plants were, but it was still dark when that happened. So the uniform guys didn't know how to get out there. And the woods down there were really, really thick. So the uniform guys did the smart thing and said, let's dump this off on narcotics, and gave it to us. This guy wanted to work for us. He said that they were his uncle's plants, and he'd show us where they were and everything. So he brought us out there and showed us where the plants were. And I don't know if you've ever seen it. I haven't been in the woods a lot up here in Indiana, but we'd have these big briar thickets. I mean, it might be as big as this room, and it would just be all thorny and briars. And what the marijuana growers would do is make a little path into there and then clear out the middle a little bit and grow plants in there, because nobody in their right mind is going to walk in the middle of the briar thicket, okay? So I'm up in the middle of this thing counting the plants and videoing, and we've got this guy out here, and all of a sudden he takes off running. So we're like, so I go chasing through the woods in the direction he went, and the woods are really thick, like I said. He's gone. I come out on a road, and I recognize it as the road that he lives on. Well, I used to hunt a lot, okay? And people are easier to hunt than animals most of the time. So I said, I'm just going to sit here on this road. I've got a good view down this road. If he's not across the road yet, I'll get him when he comes across the road. But if he's across this road, this is where he lives, I'm not going to get him. I'll get a warrant. Uniform guys can pick him up, put him in jail next week sometime. I don't care. I'm finished with this morning. It's hot. You think it's been hot here lately? Come down to Louisiana, okay? Yeah, I think it's been a little humid, but not too bad. So I sit there about 10 or 15 minutes. Warrant. I'm not messing with it. I'm going back. I'm pulling these plants. I'm going home doing paperwork. So I'm walking back through the woods. I don't know why I stopped. I have no idea. And he shot, and he missed me. And like I said, I was in the Marine Corps, so the Marine Corps teaches you to run and zigzag and get behind some cover, you know. Well, there's pine straw all over the ground. When I started zigzagging, it started getting slippery, so I just ran for this big tree that I was near, and he shot, and he hit me in the back of the leg. And I remember thinking, I remember this vividly, and I don't know, what was this, 1990. I remember, I'm not good at dates, but I remember what happened. So I felt him hit me in the back of the calf, and I was like, don't even look at it. You didn't go down. Get behind the tree. So I'm running, he shoots, hits me here. And he shoots again, he hits me in the back of the arm, and he shoots again and hits me in the hand. And he had a shotgun. And so I shoot back at him. He runs away. And later, you know, this isn't really part of my testimony, but later on, we tried to get him to surrender, and they ended up having to kill him. He had a rifle and a shotgun and was pointing at that officer, and they ended up killing him. But after that, and some people get touchy at this part of my testimony, and I'll talk more about it. After that, I really felt God was saying, I'm tired of what you're doing. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to take you out. You're claiming to be a Christian, and this is what you're doing, and I'm tired of it. Now, some people say, that's not the God that I worship. God doesn't do that. If you want to meet me after church, I'll show you plenty of New Testament scripture where God does do that. I'm not saying he's going to do it to you. I'm saying that's the point that I was at in my life, that I was so horrible that God didn't need me here anymore. After that, I was fortunate enough to have revival, to have a spiritual awakening in my life. God gave me that extra chance to turn around. Galatians 6:9 says, "But we should not lose heart in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not faint." Now, I think sometimes we want to faint in following God. We want to give up. I'll walk down here and get some Kleenex while I'm talking. So I can see. We want to give up. We get tired. I was a Sunday school teacher at another church, and I remember getting so tired of teaching that Sunday school class because I was letting that spiritual awakening fade. I was starting to faint in serving God. And one of the things that I felt is nobody's listening to me. I don't know why I come teach this class. Why do I study? Why do I pray about this lesson? Because nobody's listening. I've been telling them the same thing for 5 years, and they're still doing the opposite. And when I get to that point, I realize, you know what? I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing it because I'm being obedient to God. I hope and I pray that you get something out of it. I hope and I pray that you're listening to the message that God wants delivered. But I'm not doing it for you. And that's what keeps me from fainting. That's what keeps me from getting tired of serving God, because I realize I'm not really doing it for you. That is a byproduct. You should get something out of it. But I'm being obedient to God. I'm following God. And that's what gives me my strength. Sorry, guys, not you. You're not the ones giving me my strength. Thank goodness. Thank goodness you're not getting your strength from me, because you'd faint in about a week, okay? But I'm getting it from God. And that's part of that spiritual awakening we need to realize. And the Bible tells us, I mean, this is going to happen. But we should not lose heart in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not faint. We've got to stay strong. We've got to keep following after God. And that's what I was having trouble with. I was giving up. I was getting faint. And then Satan comes in and drags you down into this pit. And fortunately, after God knocked on me so many times, I finally listened. Psalms 85:6. "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" You know, I think in revival, I was waiting for you guys to get revived, and then I'd follow along. And I think in revival, you guys were waiting for those guys to get revived, and then you were going to follow along. I need to get revived. I hope that you get revived at the same time, but I need to have revival. I need to have a spiritual awakening. And then hopefully it'll be contagious and you'll follow along. But I'm not waiting on you. I'm not waiting on the church down the road. I'm not waiting on the state association. I need to get revived. And I need to do it now. Right now. I'm not waiting on anything anymore. I need to be revived. How do I do that? God's going to give me the power. I've got to go to God. I don't have a little step-by-step pamphlet I'm going to give you here for revival. It's going to take some prayer, some repentance. It's going to take getting back into that relationship with God so you can have that spiritual awakening, so that we can be effective for God instead of a hindrance. It said in Psalm 85:6 that we just read, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" What are you rejoicing in today? You know, I think last year maybe I was rejoicing in my job. I was making a lot of money last year. You know, things were really easy. If I wanted something, I went out and bought it. You know, had plenty of money. I lost that job. It's gone. And I think I was rejoicing in that job somewhat. Long time ago, I had a problem with material things, like 20 years ago. I've gotten a lot past that, but I think this year, as I look back and reflect, I think I was kind of rejoicing in that job a little bit. Kind of going, look what I did. Look at all the money I'm making. Look at all the things I have. I don't miss that. It was comfortable. It was a lot easier, but I don't really miss it. And I don't need to be rejoicing in that. I asked you, what are you rejoicing in? We need to be rejoicing in God. You know, what are we chasing after in this life so that we can rejoice? You know, we've heard a million sermons about joy and happiness. We want that joy that only God can give us when we have that spiritual awakening. That's what that verse said. Revive us again so that we can rejoice in thee. We need that revival. And I'm going to say this a billion times today. Not really. But don't wait on somebody else to get that spiritual awakening and then you're going to do it. Don't wait on the church. Don't wait on your Sunday school teacher. Don't wait on your spouse. Don't wait on your parents. Don't wait on your kids. You, me, need to have that spiritual awakening now. We need to be striving for that. Mark 4:30-32. And he said, what shall we compare the kingdom of God? To what shall we compare the kingdom of God? Or by what parable shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that are in the earth. But when it has been sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs, and shoots out great branches, so as to enable the birds of the air to roost under its shade. And then in Luke 30:20-21, again he said, what shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. You know, those two verses, what they say to me today is we have fooled ourselves into thinking that we're ineffective and small. As an individual, as God's church, as Christians, we now believe that we're ineffectual. We're small. We're not mighty. We're just a little bitty whisper in the community. Satan has got us to believe that. These two parables are taking something that's so small, and when it's used by God, it becomes really big. Or like the yeast spreads through the flour until it's all leavened. You know, when I said we need to start with revival in ourselves, that's going to be contagious. You know, I'm not asking for a show of hands. If I ask for a show of hands, who wants to have revival? Who wants to see a spiritual awakening in our state, in our country, in our world? We'd all raise our hands. You know, I call it our Sunday school answer. We all know the Sunday school answers, right? We know the right things to say in church. You know, we'd all go, yeah, we need to have that. But do you believe that? Do you want that? Do you really want it? Because if you do, it starts in you. Your spiritual awakening is going to start in you. If I could do it, I would turn the switch, I'd hit you in the head, say the magic word, whatever it took to turn it on in you. You know, I asked a Lutheran, I'm not sure if they're pastors or priests, so I apologize. He was the, can't think of the word for it, over for the police department. Kind of military has them. Chaplain, yes, thank you. I knew it started with a C, I just couldn't get the word out. And I used to have some really good discussions with him. We wouldn't argue or anything, we'd just discuss things. And I'd say, well, how do you get saved? You know, what do you believe? And he said, well, what we do to get people in heaven, when you're born, we go christen the babies so that if they die, they'll go to heaven. And I said, well, why aren't you christening all the babies then? So all of them go to heaven. He's like, that's a good question. You know, I can't do it for you. Yeah, I don't believe that christening babies gets them into heaven, because that's something you have to decide, and I don't think babies have reached an age of accountability yet where they have that decision yet. But same thing with your spiritual awakening. I can't decide that for you. I wish I could. I wish I could, because I would do it. I'd say, okay, abracadabra, you all have revival from this point forward. You have a spiritual awakening now. You're going to start striving after God. You're going to hunger for God's word. You're going to be in prayer for God's work. You're going to be serving where God wants you to serve. You're going to be effective in the ministry that God has you in. Because I said abracadabra. I'm sorry, I can't do that. You have to make that conscious decision. You have to turn to God and say, God, I want the spiritual awakening. Show me what I need to do. Show me what's in my heart that's holding me away from that relationship with you, where I yearn for your word, where I yearn to be obedient to you. I have to do that for myself. You can't do it. If you could, you would do it. You'd flip the switch, hit me in the head, say a magic word where it took. But you have to do it for yourself. We need to pray for God to revive us as individuals. Then our church will be revived. Then our community will be revived. Then our state will be revived. Our nation will be revived. The world can be revived. But it needs to start with you. It needs to start with me. Yeah. When we had revival services, you know, like I said, I look back at it and I think I was sitting there going, well, as soon as Bill and Barb get revived, I think I'll do it too. You know, as soon as this side of the room gets revived, I think I'll join in with them. You know, as soon as everybody in the back rows gets revived, I'll join in with them. And as I prayed and studied God's word and looked at why I didn't have this awakening that I knew I should have, that's what I saw in God's word. Here. Here's where it starts. It doesn't start with you guys. Not for me, it doesn't. For you, it does. But for me, it starts right here. Starts right here. Told you I was going to be short today. Might be a world record. I'm going to close now. If you don't have a clue about what I'm talking about because you don't know who God is, I'll be glad to introduce you to Jesus, who is my personal Lord and Savior. And there's other people here that would be glad to do the same. I would love to do that with you today. My main topic, though, is I would love for us to start getting serious about revival. I would love to see us come down here and pray this morning about revival in our hearts. I'm not asking for church revival. I'm asking for individual revival. The rest of it's follow. It'll follow our individual revival. So that's what I would ask for today. Dennis, will you come close us? If you have a decision that you would like to make public, please come down. If you'd like to pray, please come down. If you'd like to grab somebody to pray with you, grab them. If you'd like me to pray with you, I'd love to pray with you.